Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
We're going to be talking about today, Steve, education in the United States. Education has come a long way from the original intent and where it is today. You got to start wondering, like, what is happening in school? You hear today about Common Core, and you're hearing about all these different things that are going on with public education. But we're going to be having a discussion, if you will, about education past, present, and where education is going in the future. And it's so important because today, you know, you find that a lot of people are not really growing in the depths of knowledge. Technology has come so far almost to a fault where today a lot of people don't think that they have to know things as long as they have a device next to them that they can Google it. Yeah. You know, if I can just get the information, I don't have to have it in my brain. Right. I don't have to learn it. We have technology today that helps us in so many different ways where things become easy. They streamline our life so we don't have to know anything. Yeah. You know, it just happens. We hit a button and things just appear, and we don't have to exercise the brain. And you know what they say, you know, just like a muscle, if you don't use it, you lose it.
Yeah.
And I see that, you know, hey, I can use more of mine. I know I'm working on it. But if we don't exercise this gift that God's given us,
perishable.
Man, we're done. It's over.
Yeah, and we've deceived ourselves in thinking that we're smarter just because we have more access. It's just like, no, we just have more access.
That's it. Doesn't mean you have more brains or more knowledge or more skill sets.
Right.
And that's what something that you know, we're depleting. They're saying today that graduates, their reading levels are so low, and their comprehension, they can read words, but they can't even fully understand the implications of what they're reading. And so today we have a society that just says, just download it. Do you have an audio for that? I don't, you know, you have to put articles that are so small because they won't even bother to fully read it. Some reports are that most adults, once they leave high school, they'll never read a book their entire life, not a single book. And that's important because reading, as we have learned, is fundamental.
Oh, yes.
You got to learn to read. You got to learn to understand. You got to put concepts together so that you can actually function and be productive in society and in this world. And we want to, you know, we're going to join together Glenn Beck and David Barton as they begin to discuss learning versus critical thinking. There's a big difference because critical thinking involves just that, thinking, analyzing, asking questions, and exercising our brain to come to a conclusion, as opposed to learning an indoctrination, if you will, a formula, something that's just being told and we just accept it as truth. But there wasn't any kind of mental gymnastics taking place to make sure that, how did I arrive to this conclusion? I want you to watch Glenn and David as they begin to unfold this discussion. Watch now.
For centuries, American education was designed to teach individuals how to think. We didn't just memorize factoids and sound bites and talking points, which is what Congress does and what so many liberals do. We used to actually train students to develop the mental acumen that was necessary to think through whatever came up and be able to handle anything that came through.
Let me tell you something. This is a story. When I was at Yale, and I think I've told this story before, but this is really important. The professor told me, I asked him a question, and it was about Dominic Crossan. You know who Dominic Crossan is? Guy who doesn't even believe that Jesus really was the Son of God or anything. He's a Catholic theologian. And I'm reading Dominic Crossan stuff. And I said to the professor, Wayne Meeks, I said, Professor, Dominic Crossan says so-and-so, such-and-such-and-such-and-such. And he said, what are you reading? And I said, I'm reading, I don't remember what it was, but Dominic Crossan. And he said, don't read Dominic Crossan. He's going to screw you all up. Read this. I said, okay. The next week, I came in, and I had read what the professor had told me to read, but I hadn't had my answer on Dominic Crossan yet. And I said, hang on just a second. Professor, could you tell me why? And I asked the same question, and he said, Mr. Beck, didn't I tell you last week to stop reading Dominic Crossan? I said, Professor, you told me to read this. I read that. You didn't tell me why you disagree with Dominic Crossan. He looked at me, and he went, can I see you after class? He took me to lunch, and he asked me, why are you here? And I said, because I want to learn how to think. I want to learn how to think. He had not been approached by an underclassman in I don't know how long, yeah, saying that. Most people just want, they would accept, don't read that, read this. Okay, well, that doesn't tell me how to think. That doesn't, mm-hmm, that doesn't teach me how to look for the answer. Mm-hmm. I have to look for the answer. I don't want your answer.
That's right.
I want my answer. Question with boldness.
And that's what we used to do in education. As a matter of fact, look at the old books that we use, and one of the ways we taught thinking skills was this little book right here.
That's a deadly book. That's deadly.
We used it for generations. It's called Isaac Watts' Improvement of the Mind. And it was all about thinking. That's what we taught students. We also taught students how to think through exercises in this book. Now, this book has a lot of what are called forensics and forensics exercise, and this is for 13 and 15-year-old kids that they did. And forensics, by the way, it simply means the study or the art of argumentation and debate. So we're talking 13 and 15-year-old kids with this book, and look at some of the forensics they had.
Most Americans, I don't care, you could have your doctorate, and you'll struggle with that book.
Oh, you'll struggle with this.
You'll struggle.
Yeah. Here's one. Is there less danger in believing too much or too little? Now, the way this worked is the professor, the instructor, would walk into the class. He'd say, here's our forensic for today. Is there less danger in believing too much or too little? Okay, you're for it, you're against it. Go after each other. Doesn't matter what you believe, doesn't matter which side you take. You now have to develop arguments and strengths of for your side and identify the weaknesses on the other side.
David, can I ask you a question? Does this come from... Is this evidence that we are truly a Judeo-Christian nation? Because that's what Jews do. This is how Jews learn the Torah.
This is exactly how they learn. And by the way, I'm going to show you some more about how we did the same thing. Because it's Judeo-Christian, or if you want to say it's biblical. This is a biblical approach. Right. And this is using the mind. And this is the way they learn the Torah. And this is the way we used to learn American education. Now, the more secular we become, the less we think, the more we get into indoctrination. But look at some of the other forensics that they had here. I associate with no one. I employ no one who's not of my party in religion and politics. Now, we're talking 200 years ago. We can still argue that one today. Yeah. We still get this kind. Look at the next one. Here's one. Is there more to be gained or lost by a new translation of the scriptures for common use? That's still a debate I hear in religious circles all the time.
And nobody can answer it.
Nobody, not
answer it. These aren't meant to be answered. Nobody can argue this.
That's right. And see, that's the thing, because there is not a right or wrong answer to any of these questions. And that was the point, is, all right, now we're going to flip sides. Now you're for it and you're against it, because you've got to learn how to think through this stuff. Find the weaknesses in his argument. What are the strengths in his argument? We taught thinking. Here's one more. This one, whether the conduct of the patriots who destroyed the tea in Boston Harbor in 1773 is to be condemned. All right, Boston Tea Party, do we praise it? Do we condemn it? I can make an argument from both sides right now.
Me too.
I can... That's 13 and 15-year-old kids. That's
David, can you still buy that book?
No, this is not available that
we
I know.
We need to reprint. We need to take the salient points of this, and we need to reprint it or make it available online. You know what this is great for? You know what we need to do? We need to make these into little cards. I just got a little box, and they're stupid questions. We went through about 20 of them at dinner the other day, and they were like, these are weak questions. You put these in a little box, you put it on your kitchen table when you're eating dinner at night, and say, here's the topic, gang.
Yeah. See, we used to, and I'm going to go back to your thing about this being the way that Jews did it. I want to show you a scripture that we recognize, Proverbs 22:6. Probably most people have heard this scripture. And it says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he won't depart from him. And what we think is, if I train my kids when they're young, when they're older, they'll be in the way. That's not what the original marginal said. The original marginal says this, not train up a child, it says catechize a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he won't depart. Now, catechize, that's a teaching method. That's asking questions. Look at this. These are all old textbooks. Here is a catechism on agricultural chemistry and geology. Here is a catechism on astronomy. Here is a catechism on science and entomology, the study of insects. Here is a catechism on ancient history, a catechism on music. This is a catechism on botany, on chemistry, on electricity, 1840s, catechism on electricity. Here is the New England Primer, the first textbook ever used in America, 1690. It has the shorter catechism in here. Here is a catechism on U.S. history. Here is a catechism on American law. Here is, I love this one. This is a catechism on the Constitution from 1828. It's for elementary students. And I'll guarantee you, you ask congressmen, you ask a Supreme Court justice these questions today, and they're not going to get them. But notice it's
I'd like to borrow that. I've got some presidential candidates still coming
in. See if they can pass. But notice it's the use of catechisms, because if you catechize someone in the way that it's a teaching, we don't do that anymore. See, catechism is all about asking questions. And when you ask questions, what you start doing is you say, okay, I've got to answer the who, I've got to answer the what, and the when, and the where, and the why, and the how. And when you do that, you master a subject. When you can do catechism, you start asking all these questions, and you start mastering subjects.
It is, honestly, it's why the GOP is now falling apart, I believe, because when I was at Fox, we taught people ask questions about the progressives.
Yeah.
We didn't get on and just say, these guys are bad. I got in trouble all the time because I was asking questions. I said, I'm not accusing anything. I'm just asking a question. How did a communist get into the White House and gain access to the president of the United States? How did that happen? People weren't asking questions.
They weren't asking questions.
They just would say, this way or that way,
that's right.
And you accept it. And the American people need to ask questions. When we're looking to elect a new president, you should be asking questions. Wait a minute. I know that this guy is saying the things that I like, but wait a minute. How does that fit with this over here? And he did this, and that doesn't work. And you need to ask all of those questions. And when something sticks out, one of your facts is wrong. When something doesn't fit, you know, you got to start all over from the beginning because one of those is wrong. Am I right?
That's the way we used to teach, and that's the way we used to think, and that's why we didn't have this kind of problem two generations ago.
We don't teach that way anymore.
See, what happened, progressive educators took over. And look at some of these progressive educators. You go to progressive education in the 1920s, you got Francis Whalen, you got folks like Robert Ingersoll, and you got William Hurd Kilpatrick, and you got John Dewey, of course, and then you got Lester Ward. All these are progressives, and they came in and redid education, and it's interesting the things they went through. As you look at what progressives did in education, they start by going in the 1920s, and they come up with what we call graded education. Prior to that, we didn't care what grade you were in. How much did you know? You know a lot. You go here. These guys know what you know. These guys. But we said, no, you got to be in grades. We don't care what you know. You're in the third grade. You're in the fifth. You're in the seventh. Whatever. So from graded education, we then go to emphasizing the group, not the individual. We're no longer concerned with you learning. Your seventh grade class has to learn. Your third grade class. We go to the groups.
Wow.
And so now we make it 12. Prior to the progressive, we only had 8 years of education in America. When you look at the eighth grade exit exams, most doctoral students today can't pass an eighth grade exit exam from the 1920s.
My God. They can't pass. Most 12-year-olds or 12th graders can't pass a fourth grade exam from today.
Exactly right.
I tell you, David, I've read. See, we have to share some of these online. I've read some of those things. I don't even understand some of the questions.
No, that's exactly
right. I don't even understand
the
questions.
And that's eighth graders, and that was an exit exam.
Correct.
So then they went to 12 years, and by the way, we're going to force you to go for 12 years. So that's where we introduced compulsory. We had great education in America, and it was not compulsory. We taught it because we knew the value of education. Now, from this, what happened is they started focusing on the teacher, not the student. The most important thing in the classroom is you, the teacher. You kids, listen to your teacher. What that means is you've now changed it from where you're not emphasizing thinking, you're emphasizing learning. So it's in the 1920s is the first time ever that we introduced true, false, multiple choice, and fill in the blank, because you see, we want you to spit back to us whatever your teacher told you. The teacher's the most important thing in the classroom, not you kids. So the teacher told you this. Now, which of these answers is the one so we go into this learning process. We're no longer thinking, and so we change our testing, and the result is that's where you get indoctrination, because it all comes from the teacher. You don't know how to think anymore. Let us just feed you. Don't go catch a fish yourself. We want to feed you. This is what we've been through now for 100 years in America, and that's why we can't think anymore. And that's why, even though we're conservative and we like the Constitution, we like our values, we can't think through how to answer these wild accusations.
This is amazing. We can't think. This is the problem. We can't think. And it's important to know, like, when did this, 1920s, mm-hmm. You'd be surprised of the massive changes that occurred in the 20s.
It wasn't always like this.
But wasn't always like this. Because I often, wondered, how did they do those things back then?
Mm-hmm.
But they were actually smart. They knew stuff. And today, it's like we'd rather have a computer thinking for us than mm-hmm. for us to think ourselves. We'd rather, get a summary as opposed to reading the entire book and working through it. And when we get back from this break, we're going to continue to unpack this a little bit more, but we're also going to have Mr. Everett Piper. He is the president of Wesleyan Oklahoma University, and he begins to share some amazing thoughts about education and the purpose of education, that it is to seek truth. That's the purpose, not an opinion. Well, imagine the possibilities if we really begin to think and change the way we quote unquote do education. Because you know what you're finding is that, hey, this change that came in place, wow, what are the things that they're teaching our children? It's an indoctrination. It's not set up for them to be able to discover and learn truth and ask the questions and dig deeper, but it's more so, this is what we think that you should know. And now we're going to give you a test to measure the fact that you were able to memorize. Because the truth is, I mean, did you learn it or did you memorize it so you can take the test? Yeah. I mean, it's all about the test. You're in school,
data
it's all
dump,
about
next
getting
class,
the test.
Data dump next. Oh, yeah.
And then you got to clean the hard drive so you can, you know, memorize the next group of answers for the next test, you know? We need to stop the madness. We need to be able to say, hey, how can I be involved in it? The other thing, too, is for parents to be involved in education. I think that society has set it up now where it's kind of like we just take off the responsibility and send our children to school. But, you know, I'm of the belief that education's responsibility is yours, the parent. And you have some options. I mean, you have a public school system if that's what you choose. You can do a private education, whether it be a Christian education. You can homeschool and teach your children at home. But these are the options that you have available to you, and you need to find out which one is best for you and your family according to your values. And it's important that we engage our young people and begin to start asking them questions that require them to actually think. And when you think about that, they completely turned it over from, you know, a question-oriented catechism, if you will, designed. Here, I'm going to define catechism for you because I had even look it up. It's a summary of the principles of Christian religion in the form of questions and answers used for instructions of Christians. But they use the same method in all these different subjects. And the whole idea was to ask questions so you can actually come to a conclusion, which was an answer, instead of just go ahead and give me the answer. I want you to join as we continue to join, rather, Glenn Beck, David Barton, and also Everett Piper, the president of Oklahoma Wesleyan University, as he begins to share his thoughts about education, and particularly in college. Watch this.
So I asked David, I don't even know, a few months back. I said, David, we have to, and I'm not the guy to teach it, we have to learn critical thinking again. We have to be able to teach people how to think and how to teach their kids, not what to think, how to think. Where do we even begin?
I think you begin by reclaiming the high ground of what higher education. I'm in the university system. I'm the president of a university, so that's my sweet spot, if you will. The liberal arts education was established, let's say, in Oxford and Cambridge in 1100 AD. To do what? The liberal arts education was established to liberate, to educate a free man and a free woman, to educate a culture and a society for liberty and liberation and freedom. We need to reclaim the high ground of what education is for. Education is not about information, it's about integrity. It's not about a career, it's about character. Education shouldn't be about what's common, it should be about what's excellent. And all of that presupposes that you're pursuing something, an objective reality. You're pursuing truth because truth is real, and that's the goal of education. Find out what's true. I don't pat my kids on the back at Oklahoma Wesleyan University when they graduate and say, congratulations, you've earned a degree in opinions. I don't give them a diploma that says you majored in opinions. In fact, I don't care what their opinion is, and they shouldn't care that much about what my opinion is. They should know what's true in their relative discipline. For example, nursing. If all they got out of a nursing major was an opinion on how to administer medication, they need to stay away from me because they're dangerous. Opinions are dangerous. Truth sets us free. Does that sound like a familiar quote? Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. The goal of education should be truth, not opinions. But in postmodernity, we dumb down education from liberty and classical liberalism, if you will, to progressive constructs of what we believe should be true, opinions. Pol Pot had an opinion. Mao had an opinion. Robespierre had an opinion. Chavez and Hitler and Mussolini all had opinions. All the despots of history had opinions, and it didn't end well. Truth sets you free. And this is a winning argument, because who among us wants to argue against freedom? Who among us wants to argue against liberty and liberation? Who among us wants to enslave people to the bondage of Pol Pot or Robespierre? This is a winning argument, and this is what educators should be working toward. And this is why I titled, this is a little shameless self-promotion, I titled a book of mine, Glenn, Why I'm a Liberal and Other Conservative Ideas. Why I'm a Liberal and Other Conservative Ideas. I'm poking a stick in the eye of the progressive establishment and saying, I'm more classically liberal than you are.
Correct.
Because I believe in liberty and freedom and justice. I believe in righteousness. I believe in a measuring rod outside of those things being measured, C.S. Lewis, because without it, you can do no measuring. That's good education.
Okay, so I'm a dad, and I'm watching you, and I'm just making it up. Let's say I've got two 20-something children and then a 9 and a 11-year-old. And I'm listening to you, and I'm thinking, that is fantastic. I have no idea where to start. How do I start? Because this is foreign. This is not what we learned in school. You're my age. You didn't learn any of this in school. You weren't taught how to think. You were taught what to think. And it's worse now. So for somebody who is just sitting here going, yes, okay, I want that. How do you even begin? Where do you begin?
Well, first, we've got a limited amount of time here. So let me just say this. Don't be intimidated. The listener should not be intimidated. I'm a blue-collar kid that came from a mom and dad that didn't have a high school degree. And lots of people have a similar story. I went to work in a factory out of high school, and I also worked in an apple orchard picking apples with migrant workers. Many would have argued that I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer, if you will. We can't be intimidated by progressive postmodernity, because it's nothing but pablum. It's nothing but mush. It makes no sense. Just because somebody has an opinion doesn't make it true. You guys were arguing earlier, measure things, test things, ask questions. So where I would begin is with Jesus. What did Jesus do? Now, let me set this as a caveat. Jesus was arguably the most intelligent person that ever walked the face of the earth. He's God. Obviously, he could win the argument. Now, why did he choose not to argue more often than not? Often, he would just ask a rhetorical question. Whose face is on the coin? Why do you call me Lord? Well, which one of you is without sin? And do you want to throw the first stone? And then Jesus would shut up and be quiet. And he would let the broken worldview of his adversaries collapse while they drop their stones and walk away. We need to have confidence in asking a question. Then we need to have the confidence to be quiet and let the broken worldview, let the lie play itself out. Because if Jesus chose to do that, maybe we'd be wise to follow in his steps. So the first answer to your question from me would be, don't be intimidated. Have confidence in the question. And maybe follow in the steps of Christ.
So you just tell me that opinions, everybody's his opinion, and opinions don't matter. If I'm getting my kids, and I'm catechizing my kids, isn't it, I mean, you're going back, you're arguing with facts and opinions, are you not?
Well, you know, one of the things you hit was that purpose of education used to be to create character, integrity, etc.
Mm-hmm.
And Benjamin Rush, founding father, signed the Declaration, one of the three most famous educators in America. He said, without religion, I believe learning does real mischief to the morals and principles of mankind.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you don't have that foundation of absolute truth, of right, of moral truth, of God's word, everything you do up here becomes egocentric. You point it toward yourself or fill in your belly or getting a higher income. Not that that's bad. But that's not the purpose of education.
Absolutely. Is education to fill the belly, or is it to teach you to use your brain? Belly or brain?
Brain.
Again, is it career or character? Is it information or is it integrity? So there are clear goals of education. Richard Weaver, 1948, said ideas have consequences. I know you guys have spoken of his book before. It's a pretty shrewd statement, isn't it? Ideas have consequences. Ideas matter. Good ideas bear good fruit, good culture, good government, good church, good community. Bad ideas bear bad culture, bad church, bad government, bad community. So ideas have consequences. They will bear fruit. No idea will lie fallow. So this postmodern idea that everything's relative and it doesn't matter what you believe as long as it works for you is mush. It's pablum. It makes no sense. It's literally nonsense. It's like saying, I can't tolerate your intolerance, or I hate those hateful people, or I'm sure that nothing is sure, and I'm absolutely confident there are no absolutes, and I know that nothing can be known. This is nonsense, and I live in this world. It's like watching a dog chase its tail. I get dizzy. You just need to slap the dog on the nose and say, stop it. This needs to stop. There's a goal. There's a goal here, and it's to pursue truth. It's to use your brain, not just fill your belly.
Wow. The goal here is to pursue truth, not just to fill your belly. You know, it's to exercise your brain so that you can learn and serve others. When we get back from this break, we're going to continue to talk about how we can glorify God through a proper understanding of education and how we can serve others. Wow, I'm having tremendous hope here that education can be redeemed. Mm-hmm. And it's so important because you look about it. I love what he said. He said the purpose of education is to formulate character and integrity, and education, is it to fill the belly or is it to fill the brain?
Mm-hmm.
And so we have to start asking the question, why do we want to be educated? And today, you know, you look at the effort students today, I mean, in general, the effort is just basically to get by. I mean, you talk to a lot of students today.
Gotta get that grade.
Yeah, there's some students, you know, they're high achievers. We talk to a lot of students and I just want to get by. Ask a student, do you study to get straight A's or enough to get by? And I tend to think you may hear, I just want to get by.
Get that C plus.
Yeah. So if you study to get by, then you're going to get, grades are going to get you by. It's going to wind you getting a job that you're just, you know, getting by. And that getting by job is going to give you getting by pay, you know? And why? When you can seize the moment, make the most of every opportunity, and have a good understanding of why am I, you know, it's not important just to know what you're doing, but you have to know why you're doing what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And if you embrace education as a way that you can serve God, what a tremendous blessing. Serve God and serve others.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we're here for. I need to learn, not so that I can just fill my belly, my own needs, right? Mm-hmm. But also so that I can take care of other people and share with them and train them and educate them on things that they need to know.
Mm-hmm.
I love what the inventor, the scientist, the farmer, George Washington Carver said. He said he once asked God to show him the secrets of the universe. However, he says God only wanted to share with him the secrets of the peanut. And so you would think, well, is that a big deal? Well, he had hundreds of inventions with peanuts. And he served mankind for so many years. Continue today.
Yeah.
What if we really began to start asking God, Lord, teach me, help me in my learning so that I not only take care of myself, but I can serve my generation, that I can glorify you with the things that I'm learning to help and benefit society and people as a whole.
What I think is powerful, too, is he said that, you know, education used to be about character. And it's just like the word character is such a foreign topic in our culture right now. It's just like, what does it mean to have character? Yeah. When you understand the fact that it's not just about, you know, growing knowledge, you know, the Bible says knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. And he said that, you know, opinions are dangerous, but truth sets us free. If we truly understood, you know, how differently would we approach education if we understood that, what am I learning and how can I benefit others with the intellect that I'm growing in? And it's just like we look at education in such a way, like you're saying, like, you know, I just have to better myself. But it's just like if we were look at it from a sense of a character standpoint and saying, like, how can I use this to help one another? How can I use this to lift someone else up, to teach someone?
Think about the things that in general people are learning. It's like, you know so much about DC Comics, but can you come into the real world right now? Can you tell us some other things besides these? I understand comics are interesting, but can you get past the trilogy and learn something that we can all, you know, benefit from? And I want to encourage you today. decide today that you want to be a life learner, that life, that learning doesn't stop when you finish school, but that you will continue to be a learner and that you will teach others with the things that you've learned. Hey, listen, we want to pray with you right now. We ask you always, please pray for us. We need it. Let's join together. Yes. Father, Lord, we thank you, God, for this privilege, Lord, to be alive, Lord, to have a brain, Lord, that we can exercise. Father, I pray that you would help us, Lord, to turn the page and to embrace education in such a way, Lord, that we can glorify you, that we can train others, Lord. Your word says, train up a child in the way they should go. When they're old, they won't depart. Help us, Lord, not just to do learning, but to do training, critical thinking, and expanding of our minds so we can serve you and serve others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN TV and the Data Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light.